Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and my co-host today is Dave Allen. And for the next hour, Dave and I will be bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody.
Hello, Dave. And let's say hello to gold.
Hi, gold.
Gold today. You know, I had a kind of a rough day, but we're still a little higher. Up $4. We're at $1,835. Silver was down 5 pennies, $27.27. Platinum was up 19. At 1,182, and palladium was down 16 at 2,396. The USDX today was down 0.51 at 90.45. Crude oil was back up another 36 cents at 58.33. And let's get to the paper markets. Didn't do much today, and I had a great report about our deficits, and I'll have to see if I can't pull it up here in just a little bit here. Dave, it's funny because they keep updating these numbers until at least almost 5 after, and we're only looking at 3 minutes after we got started right away, and it's all the big hoopla, of course. We're going to talk a little bit about, as much as I dislike talking about Bitcoin, we almost have to. But, my question is, you have Musk who puts in $1.5 billion. You know they're going to run it out. What's going to happen to it when he pulls out his $1.5 billion and his profit? What's going to happen then? So... that's the question of the day. And all of those, they just sucked in all I can't say they're smaller investors because not too many smaller investors can afford, $48,000 for one little digit. So, the Dow today was down about 10 points at 31,375. The NASDAQ was up 20. At 14,007, the S&P was down 4 at 3,911. 10-year yield is 1.16%, and I don't know why it was a quiet day. I guess seems like it was a quiet day on the markets today, Dave. If you got anything you want to add, please do. But it did. It seemed like a quiet day for a strange reason. Maybe it's just because there's been so much activity in the past that I guess maybe we should welcome a quiet day.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any big news perhaps that's why it's been quiet. That there's really nothing moving the markets today. A whole lot. There's a little bit of added momentum, so to speak, on a stimulus bill in Congress. The Senate is spending this afternoon and this evening, first day of the impeachment trial. Not a whole lot going on. It seems as though Musk's and Tesla's investment in Bitcoin, had it happened perhaps today rather than a few days ago, it might have moved markets more. But, I just see no news is little movement, at least in the paper markets today.
I saw a report this morning. It was really sad. The 20-year-old kid took his life because he was on that Robinhood exchange. And he's, his father said he had about $5,000 that, you know, he was home from college because of COVID and all this. And, you know, he was just dabbling around and with, you know, his dad said he had, you know, maybe $5,000. But he got into options trading. And he was down almost $800,000. How does that happen? And the son's note was he didn't want to ruin his parents. And supposedly, you know, I guess there's something that, you know, Robin Hood, you know, when, I mean, it's true because, you know, I mean, I didn't, when I used to play options, they want to know about your income. They want to know about this. They want to know. They want to know if you got the money. And I guess Robin Hood doesn't do that. They basically let everybody do it. And, you know, the biggest question is, you know, something stupid like, you know, can you read? And I'm exaggerating there, but really sad. And they had no phone number to call. The note, the kid said he was trying to call them and to talk about it. And they didn't have a, nobody called them, but there was no way to contact them. And you find that a lot. I go to some of these websites. There's no phone number to call anybody. You have to send emails. Maybe you get a response. And really sad. And I had no idea that that's what was going on. Had you heard about that, Dave?
No.
And, you know, and you know, and I'm a, you know, hey, you know, it's money. I mean, isn't worth taking your life. You know, especially a young person, 20 years old. And so sad, very sad. And, so be careful out there. And, you know, if you have young children, you know, in their young 20s and so forth, that they think you think they're investing, you know, be careful. I mean, how can you get almost $1 million in debt? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, it happens from not knowing enough about what you're investing in. And then that's obviously compounded when you make the wrong bet.
True. And there is some responsibility to be shared. But also, again, I know when you option trade, they want to know a lot about you. You know, and usually if you can't pay the first time, you don't get to do it again either. You know.
It's, you know, why it ought to be. It's why the whole system needs to be completely revamped.
Yeah.
Options trading. And I'll go out on a limb to say it ought to be abolished. It ought to be prohibited. Just another form, and perhaps the biggest form of manipulation, that favors those who do it a lot. And know a lot about it at the expense of the rest of us who don't do it at all, but whose investments nevertheless are impacted in a very big way when particularly these high frequency traders hit the options market. Yeah. And particularly those who will short or long a particular company, it just isn't right.
You don't have a chance. I mean, heck, you can go to Vegas and have better odds.
That is true.
You know, and how many businesses have had to close their doors because they've shorted? But we've talked about that before. And you know, so yeah. And you know what? Everybody closes a blind eye to everything. Oh, well, we're going to get that SEC in there and the CFTC and the ABC and the CDF. And they're going to investigate. Yeah, that's a crock. And it's just, it's sad. But that's what your paper investments are, as Dave said. That's what you have. I spoke to a woman today. Lovely woman. Very lovely woman. Very smart woman. And she's done well. She has her house paid off. She has investments. She's got, you know, she's comfortable and, you know. And, but the one thing she said to me, she says, well, I have this one retirement that my money, it'll never go down. It's guaranteed. I don't know of any investments that's guaranteed. Not one. And I said, well, you ought to check into it. Just, you know, well, I don't have anything that's tied to the stock market. Almost everything is tied somehow, some way to the stock market. And it's not that I didn't believe her. I would never, you know, of course I believed her. But Dave, do you know any investment that's guaranteed? 100%?
Well, I mean, yes and yes and no. I mean, you've got. I mean, the question is, when you say guaranteed,
guaranteed you'll never lose money.
Does that mean the principal? No, that's it's a possibility, but. It depends. It depends on the underlying value of a company. I mean, there are these products used to be called guaranteed investment contracts, GICs. They're a product that insurance companies used a lot with their clients who wanted some or all of their pension funds invested. And particularly times when interest rates were higher, GICs were more popular. You know, guaranteeing, you know, you give them $1 million, you're guaranteed, say, just say 6% return. I mean, not today. I mean, probably 2%, 3% at most. But the guaranteed return, the guaranteed interest payment, is one thing, the guarantee of the principal, even though it's promised to be returned to the client via the contract that's entered into between the two parties, there's still the assumption that the underlying value of the company that's, you know, taking the money and issuing the interest payments is going to be around. Now, the good news is that, you know, there haven't been too many defaults to the extent where too many people have lost money. But I don't know. I can honestly say anything is guaranteed anymore. I mean, on the one hand, you say, well, I mean, what about a bank savings account, you know, that's got FDIC insurance? So you have, you know, say you just have $50,000 in a savings account. Is that $50,000 guaranteed? Well, some would say yes. But again, who's to say that bank isn't going to default at some point? Now, again, you know, in a total calamity, short of a total calamity, the FDIC is going to make you whole.
Yeah, but the FDIC doesn't have enough funds to make many whole.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the problem.
That's,
you know,
the
it sounds
point,
great.
Yeah, I was heading to. If there's a massive default on a national scale or international scale, then all bets are off. I mean, people think that U.S. Treasuries are a guarantee.
Nope.
Well, they're not, because the par value, the value of your principal. You might get your semi-annual interest payment of a half or 1%, but during that period, if you own, say, even a 90 day treasury bill can fluctuate in value on the principal. So there's no guarantee. So I don't know. I don't know if guarantees exist anymore in dollar-based products.
What about negative rates?
Well, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
there's only one guarantee in life. That's the way I looked at it. So the key is, the whole point is, if you diversify, protect what you have. That's the whole point of everything. That's part of the point of gold and silver. You protect what you have. Get out of those fiat dollars. Get that savings account shored up so you don't have to worry about what the paper markets are doing. And if there's a calamity and you lose some, you're not losing at all. And that's the key, where a lot of people, and you don't even have to have calamities. You can have something that happened to this young man. And you don't want that to happen.
That's a shame.
It's a terrible, terrible thing. And, I don't know if the parents are suing, and I can't see, you got to read the fine print no matter how old you are. But it's terrible. Job openings unexpectedly rose in December. Hey, led by an increase business services and retail. How about that? Some say it's a sign that companies are looking to add workers as the country starts getting vaccinated. The number of available positions increased to 6.65 million during the month from a revised 6.57 million in November. Now, this is all according to the Labor Department's job openings and labor turnover survey. And to make it briefly, we'll call it JOLTS. The median estimate is a survey of economists was for a 6.4 million vacancies. The data signal that employers in some industries are looking to add workers. Tightening of business restrictions during the month and the slow pace of the vaccine rollout are complicating the effort. The number of people who voluntarily left their job increased to 3.3 million, pushing the quits rate to 2.3%. And this is the highest since February of last year.
Job separations, which include layoffs and quits, fell to 5.46 million from 5.52.
Gosh, is that music I hear? That means we're heading into a break. What happened to those 20 minutes? We'll be right back, folks.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. It's 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about jobs. Anything you'd like to add before we move on, Dave?
No.
Would you like to finish that up?
I think we're good.
Are you good? Are we good? Okay. Some large and respected institutions are beginning to move away from the dollar, I believe. And, you know, we talked about this at the beginning of the program with Tesla's announcement that the big news that invested $1.5 billion in Bitcoin and gold makes the company part of a growing movement, again, away from the dollar. And as the Fed and some other central banks, you know, continue to, you know, push trillions of dollars a month into markets, you know, we're beginning to see these corporations are starting to see holding dollars as a risk, as you should. And as the saying goes, the world doesn't move on facts, it moves on perception. So by engaging in quantitative easing and convincing market participants that, you know, they stand ready to print a literally endless amount of money to buoy their economies, the world's central banks have eroded the perceived value of their currencies. It's what we talk about every single day. Using that money to buy bonds has driven down the value of fixed income instruments and has made their interest payments negligible and often negative. $18 trillion of the world's bonds currently hold negative yields. $18 trillion. Does anybody have a clue as to how much that is?
That's closing in on our entire GDP.
I mean, it's incredible. Some observers say that the central banks promised to step in if asset prices fell significantly. And they've pumped up stock indexes to extreme valuations. And, of course, it's beginning. I don't think it has 100%, but you're beginning to see, you know, trust erode in the equity market. The expected increase of trillions of dollars of government spending is further fueling fears of assets, again, losing their value. And that's what this one article was about. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. How much printing was actually done in the year of 2020. And I lost that my report.
Well, more than doubled.
Yeah. The U.S. trade deficit in 2020 is the worst since 2008. How can anybody believe that we're in a good place? That this economy is in a good place? And you really believe people are going to Bitcoin for a safe haven? If you remember back in March of last year when the stock market was crashing, so did Bitcoin. And, you know, it hit that high of 48,000. Very volatile. I don't know what it is today, Dave. You know? You know, you're always going to have this debate that, you know, Tesla's $1.5 billion investment in it might lead some other companies to follow suit. And that's exactly what Bitcoin is. You need that new money to push it up. I think it was yesterday I said, hey, what do you think gold would be doing if he put $1.5 billion into gold? What do you think that would do? And he'd actually get something real with his money. So I don't know, Dave. It's interesting.
It's insane. Is what it is. It's up over 47,000. It fell back to 46 and then ended up the day a little above 47. But you know, there's the question of. Look, let me just say that anyone who thinks that Bitcoin is a safe haven is they have some incredibly – well, they're incredibly in touch with the hallucinogenic part of their brain because – there's nothing about cryptocurrencies that says, much less yells, safety. This is all about, I mean, it's a reinforcement of what we've been saying all along, that it's pure speculation because there's absolutely no underlying value in what's essentially, I mean, some are going to debate my use of the word abstract, but it's in my own mind, it's an abstract asset. And yet, because even though it's very volatile and is seeing large day-to-day fluctuations up and down, people are flocking to it because they're seeing, you know, one or two people saying, well, it's going to go to 50,000 and then it's going to go to 300,000. And it's crazy. So this is nothing about safety, and that's why I'm surprised that I'll be surprised if we don't start hearing from more board members, particularly larger companies that join the handful or so that are jumping on board and parking some or all of their cash reserves in Bitcoin. Now, you know, parking them in a combination of fiat currencies and gold and perhaps even silver, you know, makes a whole lot more sense than Bitcoin. I mean, if I'm sitting on that board and knowing the ups and downs of the crypto market. I don't know. If I'm a supporter of Musk, then I'm nervously wringing my hands, but hoping it succeeds. If I'm skeptical of his leadership, I'm not certainly not hoping for it to fail because it's my company, but I'm just, you know, perhaps I'm just waiting for that I told you so moment that we should have never gone down that road. But, you know, as someone here said, a guy at a cryptocurrency exchange in Singapore, he said, one by one, corporations adding Bitcoin to their balance sheets. He says, imagine if 100 large companies start putting even 1% into Bitcoin, what that's going to do to demand and supply. And he's right. And perhaps that's what's going on here, that with more large multinational corporations joining this rush. They're hoping, just like, you know, in the paper market, that it's going to drive up the price. But as you mentioned earlier in the program, Melody, just takes another day or another moment in the middle of a trading day for the breaks to come to a screeching halt, and gravity kicking in, and the price all of a sudden tumbling. So,
well, you know, there's one thing that bubbles all have in common. They all break.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line. And, you know, because, I mean, this isn't an investment. And I mean, there's only so many of them that you could, what happens when they run out of what they're supposed to so-called mint, Dave, of Bitcoin?
Well, that's the thing about Bitcoin. You know? It's finite. I mean, you got, you know, some of these newer ones that some of the celebrities have helped fund. Some call it dog coin, some call it Doge coin. That has, I believe it's an unlimited supply. It'd be interesting to see if some of the crypto, some more of the cryptocurrency investments head that way. But that seems to me it's even more speculative than Bitcoin, because, hey, at least you know what the end game is, and you can place a judgment on, well, does 300,000 a coin make sense? And you know what? I say that knowing that, you know, in a speculator's mind, it's all about short-term gain anyway. So all bets are off. If you have money to throw around and you can afford to lose it, well, then, hey, more power to you.
But I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're looking for something real, something to hold on to, because it's a real store of value, well, call us at 1-800-375-4188.
I mean, more power to those who have it. And yeah, how fun can it be? You know, you bought something at $8,000 and it's up at $4,000. Yeah, how fun could that be? That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. And if it goes higher, that's even more awesome. So, yeah, enjoy it. You know. But unfortunately, so oftentimes it attracts people who might have $50,000. That's their savings. And they decide it's gone. They fall into, that's how bubbles are created. You know, they put in their last penny thinking that it's going to triple. And even if it does, they never sell until it starts going down. Then you wait to see if it goes back up. And it doesn't, it goes further down. And, you know, then we all know the bottom line. So if you play it, more power to you. But don't put your last investment dime in there, your last savings, I should say, into something that would be so volatile to where you could be wiped out. And everybody knows it. I don't think, Dave, there's anyone who doesn't go into these cryptos that don't realize that it could be wiped out. You know, we've seen them go down, you know, huge amounts. But so remember, you know, what's your strike price? You know, and that's what happens. People get into investments and they don't have a strike price when you're going to sell. And even if it goes, I mean, if you're making $40,000 on... If you're making $40,000 on one digit, and I don't know, Dave, it's just kind of interesting. Anyway, let's move on. I've had enough about, I don't want to talk about it anymore in the day or the week. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Child poverty worsens, you know, and I know parts that I don't agree with where this takes us. Because I believe if, you know, we know when government tries to get involved in solving poverty, They just usually make it worse than what it is. You know, they should focus on jobs. Instead of eliminating jobs, they should focus on creating jobs. Because that's how you get people out of poverty. That's what gives them a sense of pride, a sense of what, you know. But this is sad. We've had a lot of people in this past year that fell into poverty during the second half of 2020, more than 8 million. We continue to hear, you know, DC talk about another round of stimulus and who gets to pay for it. This money isn't being, you know, somebody has to pay for it. Has to come from somewhere. Comes from the people's pockets, not the government's pockets. Their pockets are our pockets. They're trying to ramp up their cause to expand tax breaks for families with children, distribute aid monthly. We've talked about this before. You know, you do have those with investments. You know, they're doing all right if they're in the stock market. When we talk about that's probably temporary. We've seen sectors of businesses get hit hard. Businesses are closing. Thousands and thousands of businesses are closing. Nobody talks about them. Nobody talks about the thousands of restaurants that are closing. It just doesn't seem to matter. Just doesn't seem to matter. And so we've got more than 16% of children in the United States that was in poverty in December. And, you know, so it what it increased, went from 8%, no, that was 8 million Americans since 2020, Dave.
And now lawmakers have introduced a number of measures that would expand the child tax credit, which currently provides eligible parents with up to $2,000 per child annually for children under 17. Biden, as part of his massive stimulus package, wants to spend $120 billion to increase the amount of money that families receive in child tax credits this year. Nearly 150 House Democrats have introduced a bill that takes Biden's plan a step further and would make monthly payments permanent, talking in the area of $300 to $350 a month, with income limits, of course. There's even bipartisan support to expand the child tax credit program. Republican Senator Mitt Romney, for example, has his own proposal that would give even more money to parents with younger children. We'll let you know how things pan out here. Just know that last year, poverty rates increased by the most, more than 50 years.
Yeah, that's true. But when government gets in there, no one wins. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And we miss you being on just Tuesdays and Thursdays. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah. What's next, Dave? Where did we want to go?
Well, we
want to talk about.
Let me talk about our newsletter, I guess. Came out yesterday.
It did.
In addition to Melody's weekly market recap and article I wrote on closer look at inequality, you got market insights from Doug Noland and a glimpse of alternatives to animal protein from Wendy Wilson. So, as you know, you can subscribe to our free blogs and newsletters at dgscoins.com or read them on our Facebook page, the @DGScoins, one word. So, Melody, shall we go here?
Let's go here.
Well, the big bad World Bank, their president, David Malpass, recently and somewhat surprisingly said, we've seen this growing, rising inequality. It seems like the system we currently have in place isn't working. There's been less and less capital available for small businesses, and there's been a centralization of the wealth within global economies. Malpass has been one of the more outspoken critics of income inequality and how central banks have addressed it over the past year. He notes that central banks like the Fed are buying bonds, which by definition are issued by people that already have money. So the system is set up to stabilize the upper end, but it's been hard for the advanced economies to get benefits to people at the lower end. Malpass's comments come amid January's non-farm payrolls report, which makes it clear that the U.S. isn't at or anywhere near maximum employment, regardless of how you define it. And we do have a little sidebar in the newsletter article that does go into full or maximum or natural employment. They're all interchangeable. We do know that one of the best ways to overcome income inequality, it's a word Melody just used, jobs.
Absolutely. It's not. We need jobs. But you said in the newsletter that true full maximum and natural employment is an economy's ideal scenario, and where anyone who's willing and able to work can find a job.
Well, that's right. I mean, full employment doesn't mean 100% employment, which really isn't possible. Instead, it's the level of employment that's likely in normal economic conditions when there's neither a boom nor a recession. The Federal Reserve generally views full employment reflected in a range of 4.5% to 5% of unemployment. Now, the measly 49,000 jobs added to the economy last month is only the tip of the iceberg of bad news the report contained. The Labor Department also reported that the U.S. shed an additional 87,000 jobs in December for a total of 227,000 jobs lost. And in November, the U.S. added 72,000 fewer jobs than originally reported. That's brought the three-month average of job gains to just under 29,000, which is about 100,000 less than what's simply needed to keep up with population growth. And then there are the 9.9 million people who had jobs 1 year ago but don't today.
You know, Janet Yellen, who's the new Treasury Secretary, I mean, she made a statement that we have about 10 million people unemployed, 4 million have dropped out of the labor market, and another 2 million are working part-time, and those 2 million who are working part-time would really kind of like to work full-time. And, you know, she says, and I'm not, we're in a deep hole with respect to the job market, a long way to dig out.
Yes, and as listeners know, we're not big fans of Yellen. She means well, but we've talked recently about a number of issues that we have for her. But I guess in this case, to give credit where credit's due, I mean, kudos to her for at least speaking out on behalf of the 6 million Americans who aren't included in the government's official or headline unemployment rate. You know, as last Friday's blog reported, the U.S. economy ended last year with a headline unemployment rate of 6.3%, according to the Labor Department. Of the roughly 10 million jobless Americans in early 2021, more than 4 million, or 40% of the unemployed, have been out of a job for 27 or more weeks. And many of them work for companies that no longer exist. They don't have jobs to go back to. Shadow Stats believes that the actual unemployment rate is between 11.1%, that's the equivalent of the government's U6 rate, and 25.7%. That's an alternative rate that includes the long-term discouraged workers who were defined out of official existence in 1994. Now, the U6 rate includes short-term discouraged workers. I mean, it's essentially the unemployed in the headline rate plus 4+ million people who are marginally attached, like the short-term discouraged, those who aren't working or looking for work but who want, are available, and have looked for a job in the past 12 months. It also includes 2+ million people working part-time who nevertheless want that full-time schedule.
And you know, Dave, the Fed's uber-easy monetary policy, you know, it's just stacked for the larger businesses' reserves, you know, with wads of cash, and they're not using it to hire workers.
Oh, my. Yeah, true enough. And instead, we know record corporate earnings are funding stock buybacks, reinstated dividends, tech advances like AI and e-commerce, both of which tend to further reduce employment, and, of course, cash reserves to pad balance sheets, some of which is now being used to buy into these cryptocurrencies, as we just talked about. The Fed's $3 to $4 trillion contribution to the pandemic has clearly been beneficial to the wealthier owners of financial assets since last March. But the real economy and the vast majority of Americans who don't own any stocks have seen much less benefit, if any, at all. Ironically, Powell and many of his colleagues have said the Fed must continue its easy money policies to help low-income workers and people of color who have borne the brunt of the current crisis. In reality, though, the New York Fed has found that the Fed's policies have done little so far to reduce the inequality they face in the first place. On the contrary, according to the New York Fed, the Fed's policies may well accentuate inequalities for extended periods. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, full employment's a worthy public policy goal. You know, whether it's 3%, 4%, 4.5%, 5%, whatever. But until we come to terms with whom to actually count as unemployed, i.e. until at a minimum we start using the government's U6 rate as the official unemployment rate, debating more policies to achieve full employment is sheer folly. And that's that for that, Melody.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about the bond market and the treasuries, and you know, we have what the Federal Reserve is. They want a little bit higher inflation. And I guess the school of thought is be careful what you wish for. And market strategists out of Bank of New York Mellon warned that if inflation gets hotter than the Fed's new policy is aiming for, you know, it could very well trigger a widespread bond selling. But then that ripples throughout other markets. He says that may force the central bank to adopt a tool to cap long-term yields known as yield curve control. And, you know, I mean, this is important, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have pensions, retirement accounts. The latest reading of consumer prices to be released Wednesday is supposed to show a, you know, a still tepid pace of inflation, and the Fed's preferred measure holds well below the 2%. Even so, the U.S. bond market proxies of future inflation this week, they accelerated to the fastest pace since 2014 because everybody is looking towards more fiscal stimulus. The 30-year Treasury yields eclipsed 2% this week for the first time since February of last year. And while a 3% year-over-year CPI inflation overshoot in 2021 would be exactly what the Fed needs to claim mission accomplished, and ensuing duration selling, you know, is going to trigger a broader market reaction. But Dave, we know the Fed wants inflation. They need inflation with the kind of debt that they're carrying.
Yeah, and ironically, the Fed already has inflation that's well above its target. I mean, duration risk in the marketplace is also near record highs. And that's after, you know, years of near zero rates and historic debt issuance, both public and private corporate debt, which leaves both bonds and stocks uniquely vulnerable if yield should rise sharply. The U.S. 10-year break-even rate, that's the yield difference between the benchmark 10-year Treasury note and its inflation-protected counterpart known as TIPS, T-I-P-S, touched as high as 2.2% yesterday. Now, TIPS are tied to consumer prices, which have historically exceeded the inflation, the Fed PCE targets, by about 40 basis points. So the current break-even rates still imply the Fed will miss its 2% target on average over the next 10 years. Under a new policy framework adopted last year, the Fed wants an average inflation rate of 2% over time, which means it could tolerate a higher one for a while. Well, again, not to sound like a broken record, maybe they don't realize it, but they're already tolerating a higher rate. And have been for some time. For this year, headline CPI will have to be at least 3%, as reported by the government, for the Fed to consider hiking its policy rate, leaving room for additional sell-off in the longer-term bonds. January's measures projected to show consumer prices climbed last month at a measly 1.5% annual pace, although that's the fastest since March, according to a survey of economists. The Fed, which after pondering yield curve control last year, ultimately backed away from the policy. But the central bank does continue to buy $80 billion in treasuries every month as part of its ongoing bond buying program. QE Lives Melody. It's alive and well.
I thought they were doing more than 80 billion.
They're doing 120. Yeah, they're doing 80 in treasuries and 40 in other paper.
Okay. You know, speaking of bonds, you have these junk bonds. And people usually go to those, because you have investors that are, looking for an asset class historically known for its high yields. The measure for the Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Corporate High Yield Index dipped to 3.96 last evening, making it six straight sessions of declines. Investors have been gobbling up junk bonds as an alternative to the meager income offered in less risky bond markets. Demand for the debt has outweighed supply by so much that some money managers are even calling companies to press them to borrow instead of waiting for deals to come their way. I know. Oh, this should make people feel solid in their majority of new issues, even those rated in the riskiest triple C tier of junk, have been hugely oversubscribed. The lower yield should encourage more speculative grade companies to tap the market after raising more than $7 billion last week. This is just like an accident waiting to happen, Dave, maybe?
Oh, my God. my thoughts exactly. I mean, this is, well, it is insanity. Boy, when the bubble breaks, it's going to be messy. In January was a record month for sales of junk bonds, $52 billion. Year-to-date volume through February 8th, probably, it was at $60
billion. Wow.
What a market.
800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.